One of the themes that I've tried to develop throughout the year is that important values and lessons can be gleaned from in-depth analyses of even halachic topics. So this notion, a legal system which is founded upon important values, is unique to the Torah's legal system and therefore is worth expounding upon whenever possible. So in today's shiur, we're going to delve into a halachic topic which has hashkafic implications regarding the impact of marriage on the family structure. So the topic at hand relates to who can eat truma. Right? Truma is the produce given to a kohen, who can then share that produce with his entire family. So this, of course, includes sharing the produce with the kohen's single daughters. The question then arises is, what happens if a single daughter of a kohen, a bas kohen, goes ahead and marries a non-kohen, a zar? Is she still allowed to eat truma from her father's house? And will she ever be able to eat truma again? So these issues are dealt with in the following psukim in Parshas Emor. Look at Surah number 1. Psukim teach us, Ubas Kohen ki sihiyeh le'ish zar, a bas kohen, a single daughter of a kohen, who goes ahead and marries a non-kohen, a zar, hi b'trumas hakadashim lo sochel. She can no longer eat truma. And then the pasuk continues to explain, is there ever a circumstance when she will be able to eat truma again? So I can say, Ubas Kohen ki siya omana ugrusha, if this Bas Kohen, if her marriage to the non-Kohen dissolves, either through a husband dying or through divorce, and Zera Einla, and provided that there are no remaining children from that marriage, so there's no remnant of that marriage anymore, then pasuk says, Vishava obeis avia kinureha, she returns to her father's house as if she was still single, meaning milechem avia sochel, that she can now eat truma again. Truma again. And the pasuk adds, v'chol zar lo yochol bo. But generally, any non-kohen cannot eat truma. So the halacha is clear in this pasuk that such a bas kohen who goes ahead and marries a non-kohen is not allowed to eat truma. So while this halacha is very clear-cut in the psukim, the basis of this halacha is not clear. And the question is she not allowed to eat truma because her marriage to this non-kohen causes her to lose her kohen status? Or is she disqualified despite the fact that she retains her kohen status? So we're going to see that there are three distinct approaches regarding this question about whether or not she retains or loses her kohen status. So according to the first approach, such a bas kohen is not allowed to eat truma once she marries a non-kohen, despite the fact that she still retains her kohen status. So although she is still a kohenes, her marriage to a non-kohen disqualifies her from eating truma. So you're going to see that this is the approach taken by the Rambam in source number 2, who, the Rambam, when characterizing this bas kohen, still characterizes her as a kohenes, as a female kohen, implying that she still retains her kohen status. If you look at source number 2, the Rambam writes, the kohenes, and such a bas kohen who he refers to as a female kohen, Ishes Hazar, who has married a non-kohen, Harihi Kizar, she is treated as if she is a zar, Shenemar v'chol zar, bein hu u'bein isho. Because the Pasuk says that any zar, whether it's the zar himself or even someone married to a zar, cannot eat truma. So we're going to see that the Radvaz, in source number 3, interprets the Rambam like we've been interpreting him as saying that this bas kohen is not allowed to eat truma despite the fact that she still is a kohenes, based on the characterization of this woman as a kohenes. If you look at source number 3, the Radvaz comments on this Rambam on the spot, and he writes, V'chihichi dezar lo achil, just like a non-kohen is not allowed to eat truma, ishto nami, his wife is also not allowed to eat truma. Key line here, afa pi shehi kohenes, even though she still retains her kohen status, lo achla, she's still not allowed to eat. Because he writes, because hazar posel as ishto hakohenes milechol b'truma, because her marriage to this non-kohen disqualifies her from eating truma, even though she has retained her kohen status.
Yeah. I'm confused. Doesn't the same nachum over here talk about? So once
that's only after her marriage dissolves.
Yeah, but what are we talking about?
We're talking about when she is still married to the non-kohen. We're trying to understand why can she not eat.
That part.
Yeah, during that first stage, once she's married to the non-kohen, does that marriage cause her to lose her kohen status?
Okay.
So the first approach we just saw clearly states that she retains her kohen status. But according to the second approach, the reason why the bas kohen is not allowed to eat truma once she's married to a non-kohen is because of this marriage to the non-kohen causes her to lose her kohen status. The idea is that when a bas kohen marries a Yisrael, for example, she becomes a Yisraelis just like her husband. And once she loses her kohen status, nemeila, she is not allowed to eat truma just like any other non-kohen. So this second approach is accepted by both the Sefer Achinuch and the Ritva in sources number 4 and 5. And we'll see both of them inside because they're both interesting. Source number 4 is the Sefer Achinuch. When he's characterizing, describing the halacha, he writes as follows. Midichsiv v'chol zar lo yochal kodesh. The fact that the pasuk says that any zar, any non-kohen, cannot eat literally holy things, which refers to truma in this context. Sheba alaf haperish, this means the following. Shekol zman shehaisha tachas bala. Any time that a woman, in this case a bas kohen, is married to dahainu bala Yisrael, is married to a non-kohen. Shehu zar mina kuhuna, I'm referring to a Yisrael who is literally foreign, who is a zar from the kuhuna. Lo socha kodesh, she cannot eat truma. Key line, ki ishes hazar nechsheves kezar. Because the wife of a zar has the status of a zar, has the status of a non-kohen, and he adds a key line also. Hari hi kimo achas mitzavosa. It's as if she is one of his bones. What do you think this is a reference to? Creation, Adam and Chava. So it's fascinating, according to the Sefer Achinuch, that historical fact that Chava was made from one of the bones of Adam has conceptual implications moving forward, that a husband and a wife for all time are considered a single unit, and in this context means they have a single status. And therefore, once she marries a Yisrael, she will attain her husband's status of being a Yisrael as well, and therefore she will become a Zara. So the Ritva similarly accepts this approach, that the marriage causes her to attain her husband's status, and he says a little even more clearly in source number 5, the Ritva writes, Dinhu shiv silua mitrumas base avia. Right, in this case where a bas kohen is married to a non-kohen, it makes sense that this marriage should disqualify her from eating truma. Why? Mitnesha hu zar gamer, because he is a zar, and the key is ukishekana lezu, and when he acquires her, the naseis kinyano be'erison, and when he acquires him, she becomes his kin, becomes acquired to him as part of the erison, part of the kiddushin process, naseis zara. She becomes a zara, she loses her kohen status. So here you have the second approach, that the marriage causes her to lose her kohen status. So now we're going to see that the third approach in the sugya functions as a middle approach between the first two approaches. Just to review, the first approach thinks that she retains her kohen status forever. Second approach thinks that she loses it immediately upon marriage. We're going to see the third middle approach thinks that while she retains her kohen status immediately upon marriage, once they have a child together, at that point, she then loses her kohen status. So this middle position emerges from the position of Rashi, really two comments of Rashi, Maseches Yevamah. So if you look at sources number 6 and 7. Source number 6, this Rashi is in the context of a bas kohen who only marries a non-kohen but doesn't have a child with him. And it's clear from this context that such a woman still retains her kohen status. If you look at Rashi in source number 6, he writes, Hai drasha mibayle legufe lezar gamer. Right? The basic drasha which prohibits a non-kohen from eating truma, that is needed for a basic zar, someone who is actually a non-kohen. V'lhach bas kohen shenisleis lazar, but such a daughter of a kohen who's married to a non-kohen, delav zarahi, who is not a zar, she still retains her kohen status. It's tricha ubas kohen la'asra, she needs a separate drasha to even prohibit her from eating truma because she still has retained her kohen status. So it's clear from this, Rashi, if you took this in isolation, that such a bas kohen who's merely married to a non-kohen still retains her kohen status. But if you look in source number 7, the next source, and Rashi, just a daf later, And this is in the context of a Bas Kohen who not only marries a Kohen, but a non-Kohen, but also has a child with him. It is clear that in this context, Rashi thinks that this Bas Kohen has lost her Kohen status. If you look at Rashi in source number 7, writes, to hate Mikukelas Lamafraya, in this situation, if such a woman who is both married and has a child with a non-Kohen, if she goes ahead and eats Truma, she will have violated an Isser retroactively, and that will cause her Lishalim Truma Shachla, she will have to reimburse the Kohen for the Truma that she ate, both the Karen, the principal, and the Chomish, and a fifth, which we'll discuss later. Key line here, to Eshtachach Dizarahabia, because once she married and had a child with the non-Kohen, she becomes a Zara, she has lost her Kahuna. And therefore, Va'achla Truma B'shogi, and she will have illegally eaten Truma. So here you see what emerges from this position of Rashi, is this middle Shita. That although immediately upon marriage she still retains her Kohen status, once she shares a child with the non-Kohen, at that point she loses the Kohen status. Fine. So before we really develop these three approaches and really see the hashkafic implications coming out of these three approaches, I would just like to highlight the significant difference between these three approaches with concrete halachic ramifications. By doing that, we have to take a step back and ask a question. Why does it really matter whether or not she retains or loses her Kohen status? Either way, it's clear from the Psukim in Source number 1 that she's not allowed to eat Truma. So why then do we care whether this is because she lost her Kohen status or whether she is disqualified despite the fact that she still retains it? Why does it really matter? So the answer is that this factor matters because there are certain punishments associated with the illegal, improper consumption of Truma, which only apply to non-Kohanim. As we'll see, these punishments, which we'll see in a second, will only apply to such a Bas Kohen if we think that her marriage to the Kohen causes her to lose her Kohen status. But if, like according to approach number 1, that she still retains her Kohen status, then she will not be subject to these punishments, which we'll discuss in a second. So based on these, the application of these two punishments to such a Bas Kohen, basically really highlight the importance of this question of whether she has retained or lost her Kohen status. So the first punishment we're going to discuss is the severe punishment of Misa Bidei Shamayim, which is the death penalty, which is administered by heaven, literally by God, for a non-Kohen who eats Truma. So again, this severe punishment will only apply to such a Bas Kohen if we think that she has lost her Kohen status. So in line with this analysis, if you look at the source number 8, the Minchas Chinuch writes, Minchas Chinuch, who generally accepts the second approach, that her marriage to the Kohen, to the non-Kohen, causes her to lose her Kohen status, in line with this analysis, the Minchas Chinuch accepts the approach that because she has lost her Kohen status, she will be subject to a Misa Bidei Shamayim, just like any other non-Kohen, just like any other Tzar who eats Truma improperly. If you look at source number 8, the Minchas Chinuch writes, V'inei miloshon harambam nireh, degamken chayemes Misa Bidei Shamayim kizar gamur. That such a woman would also be subject to the severe punishment of Misa Bidei Shamayim, just like any other non-Kohen. Earlier in Mitzvah Reish Pei Gimel Shekasav, Ki Isha Sazar Nechshavas Kezar, it's clear from the Sefer Achinach that she loses her Kohen status, that she becomes a Zar. And Harihi Ka'achas Mitzalosav, because they become one unit. Once again, so it's very therefore clear, according to Minchas Chinuch, in line with this analysis, that because she has become a non-Kohen, because that marriage triggered the loss of her Kohen status, she is subject to the Misa Bidei Shamayim, just like any other non-Kohen who illegally eats Truma. Then later in the piece, Minchas Chinuch quotes other Deos who argue and say that no, that such a Bas Kohen is not subject to Misa Bidei Shamayim. So in line with this analysis, this aligns with the first approach that we've been developing. That these other shitos hold that even though she is not allowed to eat this Truma, she retains her Kohen status and therefore will not be subject to Misa Bidei Shamayim. We'll just read that last line inside. This is the other shitos. Minchas Chinuch writes, according to these other shitos, in Kain, the Inyan Misa Bidei Shamayim, Gam Kain Lomar Binun. If you accept the fact that she retains her Kohen status, then she will also not be subject to Misa Bidei Shamayim. Yes, Kirshan.
Doesn't this disturb me?
Yes, excellent question. So the Minchas Chinuch has a different interpretation of the Rambam than the Radvaz had earlier.
Which makes a lot of sense, because the Rambam's terminology is not much different than the Sefer HaTikvah.
Yeah, he's...
And we're putting them on opposite sides.
Yeah, meaning he says, Hari hi kizar. In the way I'm interpreting it and the Radvaz is interpreting it, they're putting a lot of emphasis on Kohenes. In fact, I mean, if you notice the Sefer HaChinuch, he always refers to her as a Bas Kohen or the Isha Sazar. He never refers to her as a Kohenes. So if you really take stock in that phrase of the Rambam of Kohenes, then you're going to treat the next line of Hari Hi Kizar as treating her as if she's a Zar, but not that she's actually a Zar. But the Sefer HaChinuch the Minchas HaChinuch, and you're 100% right, is arguing and how you interpret whether the Rambam in fact is.
If you're not focusing, like that's your approach if you're focusing
exactly.
on the Kohenes part. But if you're not, the Rambam specifically says Hari Hi Kizar, which is not that different formulation.
100%.
Now Shed's Kizar.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%.
I also think there's like a huge interesting theological implication.
We're gonna get to that at the end.
No, just I separate what I think you're not your major point, your minor one in context is of like on poskening in this issue. So you're poskening something, whether or not somebody will get Yud-Vid Shamayim is like a it's like a very
interesting
heavy idea.
For sure. Yeah. What's going on is that they're using Misa B'dei Shamayim as really a litmus test for whether she retains or loses her Kohen status, which will, you're right, we don't pass it yet. We're going to see that issue, great point, is really going to impact other concrete issues which are meted out by Beis Din. Actually, it brings us to the second punishment, which is it's a great segue. And the second punishment, which is really going to be dependent on whether or not she retains or loses her Kohen status, is whether such a Bas Kohen has to add a chumash, a fifth, to the value of the truma when she is reimbursing the Kohen. A general halacha is that when a non-Kohen illegally eats the truma of a Kohen, that non-Kohen has to reimburse the Kohen, and not only the Karen, not only the principle of the value of the truma, but also has to add a fifth. So for example, if a non-Kohen eats $100 worth of truma, he would have to reimburse the Kohen $125 worth of truma. Now you ask, I just did my math wrong. The way the Torah evaluates percentages is a different system, which ends up resulting in not 120, but 125. Fine. And we're going to see that this issue, whether she will be subject to this obligation to add a fifth, will depend, seemingly should depend on whether she is still a non-Kohen, because in general terms, the Chomesh is only obligated upon non-Kohanim who eat Shumo illegally. We're going to see that in contrast to the first punishment of Misa B'dei Shamayim, where the application of that punishment to this Bas Kohen was a matter of dispute, the application of the obligation to add a chomesh seems to be very clear-cut. It seems to be an explicit Mishnah in Trumos. If you look at source number 9, the Mishnah explicitly states that such a Bas Kohen is not obligated to add a chomesh. If you look at source number 9, the Mishnah explicitly states that in our case, a Bas Kohen, right, a daughter of a Kohen, Shenisleis LeYisrael, who goes ahead and marries a Yisrael, and then she illegally goes ahead and eats truma. Mishalemes es hakeren, she has to pay back the principal, but ve'inu mishalemes es hachomesh. But she does not have to add the fifth. So if you stop here, it would seem to be that this Mishnah would seem to be a clear proof to approach number one, that such a Bas Kohen retains her Kohen status and therefore is exempted from the Chomesh obligation. If you look at the next source, our second to last source, Rav Avraham Mibar Tanur, who was an early commentary on the Mishnayos, he in fact cites this Mishnah as a proof to the first approach that this Bas Kohen, even after marrying the non-Kohen, still retains her Kohen status. So if you look at source number 10, Rav Avraham Mibar Tanur writes on this Mishnah, Bas Kohen Shenisseis LeYisrael, right, such a daughter of a Kohen who marries a non-Kohen, Fa'asura Le'achol B'Truma, filling in the gaps that we know already, that she is prohibited from eating truma. Mishalemes es hakeren, she has to pay back the principal, right? Kedim gozel es chavera, just like you have to pay the principal of any matter, any object that you stole from a friend. Key. Of a lo chomesh, but when the Mishnah says that she is not obligated to add the fifth. Why? To Kohenesi. Because she is still a Kohenes. She still retains her Kohen status. Uksiv, the Chozar lo yochal kodesh, etc. The pasuk which establishes the Chomish obligation, Yatza Zos Sheino Zara, is limited to non-Kohanim, and therefore doesn't include such a Bas Kohen, who, according to Rav Avraham Bartanura, is still a Kohenes. But now we have to flip the question on the second and third approach and ask that if, according to the second and third approach, at some point in time, according to the second approach, immediately, according to the third approach, at least after they share a child, that she loses her Kohen status and she becomes a Zara, just like any other non-Kohen, so why isn't she obligated to add the Chomish if she illegally eats the Truma, just like any other non-Kohen? So according to the third approach, which says that there is a time in which she still retains her Kohen status, right, when she was married, and that according to the third approach, she only loses her Kohen status after she has a child, it is possible, according to this third approach, to answer by limiting the Mishnah to that first time period when she is just married, without a kid, when she still retains her Kohen status. And she is only exempted from adding the Chomish for that period of time when she still retains her Kohen status. And if you look carefully back at source number 7, remember, which was Rashi, which was the source of this third approach, if you look very carefully, he states exactly this. Right? In source number 7, when he's discussing the Bas Kohen who not only marries the non-Kohen but also has a child, in this context it makes it clear that she is in fact obligated to add the Chomish. Going back very quickly, it says Tehei Mikul Kelas L'Mafreyev She Eat Shul HaValed retroactively L'Shalim Truma Sha'achla, to reimburse the Kohen both the Karen and the Chomish. So at first glance it sounds like Rashi is explicitly contradicting the Mishnah, but according to what we're saying now, we're talking about two different time periods. After she has a child and she loses her Kohen status, at that point she has to pay the Chomish, but beforehand, that's what the Mishnah is dealing with, before when she's just married, at which point she is still a Kohenes and therefore she would be exempted.
How do we know that she had a child
there? So that's just the context of Rashi and source number 7. Yeah, that's just the context based on the Gemara. But before we finish up, we still have, the question still remains according to approach number 2. Because right, according to approach number 2, this Bas Kohen loses her Kohen status immediately upon marriage. So there is no point in time when she is married to this non-Kohen where she is still a Kohen. So why would the Mishnah exempt her from this Chomish obligation? So in our last source, the Minchas Chinuch, we pointed out before, accepts in general approach number 2, that the marriage triggers the loss of her Kohen status, explains a Chiddush that the reason why this Bas Kohen is exempted from adding the Chomish, despite the fact that she is no longer a Kohen, is because a Chomish is only incumbent upon individuals who were never Kohanim in their lives. And the Mishnah is therefore saying that such a Bas Kohen, who everyone agrees at least when she was single, she was a Kohen, because she was a Kohen at one point of her life, that's why she's exempted from this Chomish. If you look at source number 11, Menachos Chinuch writes, Paskinan to Kohenes Isha Sazar, right, this Bas Kohen will not be obligated to add the Chomish. So the Rambam also paskins this based on the Mishnah. Dizar me'ikara be'inan, because this Chomish obligation only applies to an individual who has been a Zar his entire life. So that's how the Minchas Chinuch, and this is the second approach, is going to explain this Mishnah and how they're going to align with their general worldview of the status of a Bas Kohen. So just to summarize what we have so far, we've had three approaches regarding whether she retains or loses her Kohen status. Approach number 1 is that she retains her Kohen status forever. Approach number 2 is that she loses it immediately upon marriage. And the middle third approach is that while she retains it upon marriage, she loses it once she has a child with the non-Kohen. And then we discuss two concrete halachic ramifications of this issue, both in terms of the application of Misa V'dei Shemayim and the obligation of adding a Chomesh, whether that will apply to such a Bas Kohen.
Approach number 2, yeah. Today, the Parsha discussed why the Torah says that she can eat Truma when she marries herself.
Oh, so according to that approach, once that marriage dissolves and there is no remnant, any children from that, she now reattains her Kohen status. Yeah, so that they think this is like it's a fascinating idea. Yeah. So now that we've set forth these three approaches and seen the halachic ramifications of them, I'd like to now just really develop the hashkafic implications of these three approaches regarding, as you see from the title, the impact of marriage on the family structure. And we're going to see that each one of these approaches highlights an important lesson and value within this topic. Let's go through each one individually. The first approach, which thinks that such a Bas Kohen retains her Kohen status even after marrying the non-Israel, that approach highlights that a woman retains the status of her upbringing even after marriage. The idea is that the Torah, according to the Torah, a woman should not forget the values and ideals of her upbringing when she becomes married. It's rather that a woman should really carry those values of her upbringing and really contribute them to the marriage. And therefore, this first approach, which says that she retains the status, her original Kohen status, is trying to highlight that she still always will retain the values of her upbringing even into the marriage. According to the second approach, that such a Bas Kohen loses her Kohen status upon marriage, that highlights that a woman integrates into her husband's family upon marriage. The Torah does not ascribe to the prevalent view out there in the world that both members of a marriage remain completely independent of one another. The Torah rather believes that a woman becomes fully integrated into her husband's family, which in this context, according to the second approach, manifests itself in terms of her attaining the status of her husband's family, in this case, the non-Kohen